Good morning. Welcome to Step Into the Light. Welcome to 2021. I think we have all been waiting with bated breath for this new year. Like to pray for all of my listeners that this year will be a happy, healthy year filled with blessings that you can't even imagine yet. We've had such a rough time in 2020, and we're all willing to put it behind us, but I hope that in going into 2021 that we will also remember some of the lessons that we may have learned through all that we've been experiencing in this past year. It's not unusual for people to start a new year with resolutions that last for about 3 days, but also and do things a little bit differently, and that's the case here with Step Into the Light. I am very excited to make my announcement that I had advertised I would be making today. I have brought to the show a co-host. Her name is Jean Alfieri. I am thrilled to have her join us. Jean, welcome to the show. Welcome to Step Into the Light. It's great to have you on this team.
Thank you, Patty. I am delighted to be joining you, and I'm so excited for this opportunity. And as we were talking and exploring what we might do with the show and, you know, how we might introduce each other and get people acclimated to us, I thought perhaps if an interview of you would be wonderful, because for as many years as you've been on the show, I know you've shared stories, and your followers love you for who you are, but I'm curious how well they may know you. And so I thought to start with some questions would be fun.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting, Jean. As long as I don't come back with really dumb answers, I'll try my best to sound halfway intelligent.
I doubt that. Okay, so Patty, how long has Step Into the Light been on the air?
Step Into the Light was first aired on September 15th, 2015, but there's kind of a story behind that.
Uh-huh.
Step Into the Light was
my
first podcast involvement. My former pastor had a ministry with Blog Talk Radio, and he invited me to join his broadcasting schedule with a show that surrounded writing. I'd never done anything like that before, but it sounded like a fun challenge. We got together, and from January of 2015 until June of 2015, we did a show every week, and I interviewed mainly authors, but it wasn't necessarily just authors. We interviewed a recording artist at one point and different people. We didn't want to limit ourselves to writers only, and we're looking for a more generalized title, so we settled on Literally Speaking. In fact, links to those episodes can still be found on my website at pattysheen.com, which is spelled PATTISHENE.com, under the Blog Talk Radio tab. After a few months, my pastor friend developed health issues that didn't allow him to continue with the podcast. We had recorded at his house under his Blog Talk Radio account, and he'd been in charge of all the technical stuff, so I didn't have a clue about that aspect of it. However, he offered to show me what I needed to know. Okay. And after thinking and praying about it and getting encouragement from some people, I decided to pursue my own show. So I had some time to evaluate what the focus of the new show would be, and it seemed the most engaging aspect of the Literally Speaking shows that we had done was when our guests shared how they had overcome some adversity, either with a medical issue,
yeah,
a personal struggle, a career choice. I decided the
Those
focus
stories
of this
are
show,
always so, yeah, so powerful.
Yes. I decided the focus of this show would be to interview guests who had experienced a dark or difficult time and found their way back to light, hence the name Step Into the Light. And like I say, that
okay.
First episode aired on September 15th of 2015.
Wow. So you've been at this long before it was trendy.
Yes, but I have to confess, too, I had many, many periods during this 5 years of not recording at all. So I think
okay. Today
will be 129 episodes. So when you figure how many weeks there are in 5 years, that's not a real good track record. But still.
Oh, but still. Right. And
still
just you've stuck with it, too.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And Patty, we've talked about like the amount of time, money, just the sheer energy and work that it takes to create the show. Why is it important to you to continue offering it?
Jean, I have asked myself that question more than once.
Yeah?
But seriously, I honestly feel this is a ministry that God has laid upon my heart. I don't expect to ever be a big name in radio or podcasting, but that's not really my goal. If you go to my website, mm-hmm. you'll see the title of my overall ministry, which incorporates this show and my two blogs, is Magnify Your Message Ministries. Not my message,
yes.
your message. So my
sure.
radio show guests and my guest bloggers have a message to share. And I feel that if God has assigned me to fulfill that need, I'm fine with that. If one person is positively influenced by something they heard on Step Into the Light, if one sentence from one guest helped someone out of a dark place or turned them away from a bad decision or brought them closer to God and to Jesus as our Savior, I could not ask for a more satisfying reward than that. I probably
that
will not
wonderful.
Know the answer to that question until I leave this life, but I will say, just when I think it's time to give up the broadcast and I think about the upside, the downside, I weigh the two, I receive an email from someone asking for an interview or from an agent who represents a book that would be a great fit for the purpose of the show. So I just take that as a sign that God's not done with this particular endeavor just yet.
Right. Wonderful. Okay. So what's your favorite part about hosting the show? There's a lot to it. What do you like the most?
Oh, my goodness. That's easy to answer. I love to hear people's stories. I love it when a guest opens up his or her heart to listeners and shares from the deepest wounds of their soul what they have endured and how God's love brought them back to light.
Yeah, I bet. I bet that can be very powerful. And so along those lines, is there a particular memorable interview that you've conducted or one that was significant to you that you've taken away from the show, any of the shows that you've hosted?
Oh, so many stick out in my mind, but there is one that touched my heart in such a way. It was aired in April of this year, and it literally had me in, I'm feeling that way again, had me in tears
on
air.
I can tell. Yeah.
It was an interview with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Jeff Brodsky. And Dr. Brodsky is the founder of Joy International, which is dedicated to the rescue, restoration, and the reintegration of children, teens, and young women who have been affected by trafficking and the prevention of child trafficking worldwide. And he was just such a powerful man. He talked about how God had motivated him in solidarity to go barefoot for a year. The man did not put on
wow.
a pair of shoes or socks for a whole year. And I won't go into the whole story because I'm hoping people will listen to the podcast. But after
sure.
that year, he was so grateful that for that 365th day when he was going to put on shoes and socks after all that time. And he said he literally could not get a sock over his foot. It was like there was a physical
really?
Force stopping him. And he said, God, what do you want from me? You know, I've already been doing this for a year. And he just felt God telling him in his spirit, they're still out there. And he has been doing this
wow.
for, I can't recall how many years now. I can't remember now. But
and he's,
oh, the whole story
and he's still
was
doing
just,
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, the
goodness.
Whole story was just, oh, gee. It really, I'll tell you what, that one really got to me. Really got to me. But there
oh,
are so
I
many
bet.
Others. Not just Dr. Jeff, but there's so many others, people that have just shared their life experiences and their ministry and how they've touched the lives of others and how they hope to reach other people. And it's very powerful for me and I hope for my
you
listeners.
Know, yeah, and inspiring too. I'll add that because there's
mm-hmm.
there's
yeah.
so much to be said for wanting to bring a message and not sure, you know, if it's falling on deaf ears or if anybody's getting it. And so that in itself is very powerful that it, you know, you can be inspired to know that people will hear the story.
Yes, and I never
so,
know. I don't get a whole lot of
yeah.
feedback, so I don't know who's listening. I look at numbers, and, you know, numbers are they're so hard to interpret because you can have a number, a stat on the radio site, but that doesn't tell you that a person listened to the entire show.
Sure.
If they clicked on for two
sure.
minutes and then clicked back off, I think they count as a a download or a live stream or whatever it is. So I have no way of really knowing how many people are reached out there. And I put that all in God's hands a long time ago.
That's a beautiful way. I love that, Patty. And I've had to do that in many ways too,
sure.
In different mediums, right? How effective are you? Well, I just expect, because I'm praying about it, that I'm as effective as he needs me to be. That's where I'm at. Yeah.
There you go.
So you have encouraged your guests to share a dark time in their lives and how they found their way back to light. That's the premise of the whole show. Would you share one of those times in your own life and tell us what the outcome was?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I will tell you that when I have listened to other people and their stories,
yeah.
I think about how fortunate I have been. I mean, like
yes.
most people my age, I've lost both of my parents. They've both passed on, but I have never had like a tragic death in my immediate family. I have in my extended family, but I mean in my immediate family to lose somebody like to a car wreck or to suicide or even murder or something horrible like that. I've never had anything
right.
horrific like that happen in my life. I have never
yeah.
been a victim of a serious illness like I'm not even on any prescription medications for my age. I'm pretty fortunate there.
That's fabulous.
You
yeah.
know, and I mean, I look at how blessed I have been, but when I look at a dark time in my life, a time when I really questioned God and kind of wrestled with God, my husband sustained an illness that kind of took place over several years. He had decreased circulation in his left leg, and he had to have an artificial vein put in there, which was good for about a year, and then he developed a very serious infection to that vein, which resulted
oh.
in several surgeries over time. He even ended up having his five toes on that left leg amputated. After that, he had a wound on the top of his foot that it took 15 months to heal. He was up there in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber in Memorial Hospital in Colorado Springs for 12 weeks. We did that every weekday and just all kinds of different things. But I was so blessed in that even the nurses said, boy, you know, if even half of our patients were as wonderful as you are, our job would be so easy. They used to tease him about being a model patient. Every little thing I ever did for him when I was doing some home care here, he was always so, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
But he also had some cardiac issues back in the 1990s and had to have a stent put in. Well, things pretty well resolved from that. He really didn't have a whole lot of heart trouble after that. However, the doctor did want him to have a cardiac
okay.
catheterization.
Yeah, like a cardiogram
yeah,
or something like that.
They wanted him to have a cardiac catheterization. He had that. Well, they found out that he needed a quadruple bypass before
Whoa.
They could even do this leg surgery. Then they found out that the aorta was so calcified, they didn't want to get near it for fear of sending little bits into his body to cause a stroke or even death. So they could only do one vessel. But it was enough to get him through these surgeries and everything. So he did good with that. Well, he had finally recovered from all the leg stuff and everything, and he was off of a walker and out of a wheelchair and walking on his own, just used a cane once in a while when he was outside. Well, he and I were going to go up for dinner on Mother's Day, and he had been complaining about this funny feeling in his throat. He talked about a funny feeling in his throat, and our family doctor had recommended that he take some allergy medication, thought it might be an allergy thing. Well, that
yeah.
night when we went to leave, he said, this medication that I've been taking hasn't really done me any good at all. Well, we had a pharmacist in the next town who was pretty knowledgeable. And I said, well, you know, we're going up to dinner anyway. We'll stop by and ask this guy what he thinks, if maybe we could switch to something else until your appointment with the doc next week. Okay, good idea. Well, as he's talking to this pharmacist, and he says, yeah, you know, he says, and every once in a while I get this pain in my chest. He says, like right now, just walking in from the parking lot, and it's kind of going down my left arm. And I looked at him and I said, we are not going to dinner. We are going to the ER. Long story short, he ended up going to cardiac surgery. And this pain, this chest pain that he was having had been getting worse and worse all the time. And he went to surgery, and I don't know if you have ever had a loved one in surgery, but it is typical that the operating room staff calls out to the waiting room and speaks with the waiting family every so often to give an update on what's going on. And
sure.
Three times they called, and my daughter and my granddaughter were there with me as well. They called and said that he was stable and they were proceeding as planned, I think was the way they worded it. So I was ecstatic. Wow, you know, he is going to get through this. I even went down to the chapel and I was just so grateful. Come back upstairs and the next phone call, they informed me that he was in cardiac arrest.
Oh, goodness.
And of course he did not survive that surgery, but for the longest time after that, the doctor had told me that his chances were not good going into this surgery.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even so much his not surviving the surgery that bothered me. I think what made me question God at all was, why did he go through all of this long, complicated surgery just to not survive it? I mean, why didn't he, like, have a massive heart attack the night before and that was the end of it? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I do know. I'm with you, yeah.
And why instill all that hope in my heart and in us?
Yeah.
That, because during this whole time, I'm texting all kinds of family members down here, my pastor, other people from my church, personal friends,
sure.
all these people, I'm texting them. And every time they called with a good report, of course, I would relay that. Well, then when they called with that final report, I didn't want to contact anybody because my son lives in the UK. And the only way to contact him was by phone. And you know how social media is, or even texting. The minute you send somebody a text, it's like the whole world knows it. So I didn't send anything. And people, after an hour or so, people were texting me and saying, what's going on? And I just kind of stalled everybody with doctors on his way out to talk to us.
It's
just really, really hard to have to accept the fact that this was it, you know, after all of this hope that day. But I learned later, first of all, I learned that the reason he was having so much pain is that he was literally having mini heart attacks for 2 days.
Ooh, okay.
Just very horrifically painful experience for him. If he had come out of that surgery, he probably would have been on hospice care. His mobility would have been extremely limited, and knowing my husband, he would never have wanted to live that way. So I understood all that, but I did for a long time question why put him through that day to have it end like this. So
how long ago was that, Patty?
He passed away on June 16th of 2016.
Okay.
So it's been 4.5 years now.
And you know, I know it's all relative, but when you talk about it, it feels like it was just yesterday, right? It feels like it was so recent.
Yeah,
and 4 years ago, isn't
that
a long time ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very hard. I mean, especially when you consider, like you say, you know, you wanted to reach out to someone and let your son know before everybody else knew. And what a challenge that adds on to top, you know, just layer it on.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, when as time goes by and you look at things differently, it was 10 months later, Easter Sunday happened to fall exactly 10 months from the day he had died. And he's buried out here at Fort Lyon National Cemetery, which is about 4 miles from me. So I had it in my head that Sunday morning that I wanted to go out there and place flowers on his grave at sunrise. I didn't quite make it at sunrise, but it didn't really matter that day because it was a very overcast day, especially down here in southeastern Colorado that day. There was no sun to see. So I went out there and I placed the flowers and I took a picture and I walked around the cemetery and came back and I'm standing there again, and just about the time I was ready to leave, all of a sudden, Gene, the sun just burst right out of those clouds, and it shined right on that gravestone. And, of course, I snapped a couple of pictures, and it did that only long enough for me to take those pictures. And then it went back under the clouds. And I walked the whole length of the cemetery road, which is probably about a half mile out to the main road there at Fort Lyon, and back, never saw that sun again that whole time I was out there. except for those few seconds that I took that picture. And to me, that was a sign from God that, hey, he's with me. He's okay.
Yes, right. Just, oh, how beautiful. Oh,
it was so powerful. Oh, my goodness. I walked into church that morning, and I told the lady that was our deacon on duty, I said, I have the most awesome story to tell you.
That is awesome.
Doesn't it
give you a little bit of a little bit of solace too, because there are those questions that we won't necessarily have answered before we pass it on too. And do we need those answers? I struggle, because it would be nice to have them, but if that's not the by design, the time or the place for you to get them, then so be it, right?
Exactly.
Be comforted in knowing that he is where he's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's true, Jean. That's exactly right. God just does have a way of soothing our hearts.
I was going to say, he's a great comforter. He's a great comforter. Whether he reveals anything to us or not, he knows what we need.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Patty.
Well, thank you for asking.
Absolutely. So I'm going to shift gears here a little bit and steer us away from the podcast talk and ask you a little bit about your writing, because you are a writer as well. And I'm kind of curious what you're currently working on and perhaps, what story you've been most proud of through the years.
I kind of have to laugh when I say I'm a writer, because I feel like I have everything I need to be a writer. I have a computer. I have a website. I have business cards. I go to writers' conferences. I've even spoken at a couple of writers' conferences. But when it comes to, Patty, what can we find of yours on Amazon? It's like, ain't there.
Sure. Well, but we know there's more to it than that.
Well, I have discussed this with several people over the years as to why. And I think part of it is that, number one, I'm a terrible procrastinator. Number two, I am a perfectionist when it comes to, I cannot turn off my internal editor. I write 1 through 15, and then I learn about some new technique or you should really be doing this. Oh, okay, well, I got to go back and do that. So I'm really bad about that, and I need to just press on and finish. I have actually 3 novels in progress, and it's embarrassing that I've been saying that for the past 20 years. But my passion has always been the Western genre. I think probably because I grew up in that era when Westerns were just all over the TV, from my very favorite Gunsmoke clear through to Bonanza and Big Valley and High Chaparral and Laramie. And oh my goodness, I think there was like 45 of them on network TV at one time, they say. But I have always enjoyed those kind of stories. And then, of course, here I am out here in southeastern Colorado, where for a long time my neighbors were cows.
Right. Yes.
And you see the guys in town with their pickup trucks and their cowboy boots, and I, even though I'm not personally ingrained in that lifestyle, I'm constantly surrounded by it. And I think there's just a certain romance about the Western genre, that things were different back then. You had a certain code that you lived by, and you had a certain morality that you lived up to, although I guess that new Western Yellowstone, they say, is really pretty wild. But even...
Yeah,
even,
and I haven't seen that. No, and you're right. And there was a certain danger that went with that lifestyle as well.
Absolutely, yeah. But in the end, I think there was a certain loyalty that you don't see today, whether it be loyalty to God, loyalty to family, loyalty to the brand, or whatever.
Right.
It was just something very intense, and I just love to embrace that. So I'm working on a 19th century Western, and then I have kind of a modern day Western that I have in mind, about a person that owns this ranch, a widow actually. And then I have another one that's based on a trip that I took in the San Juan Mountains on horseback in the 1970s.
Oh, that sounds special.
Yeah. That's how I ended up in Colorado, actually. Because
okay.
I was.
So where are you originally from?
I grew up on the South Shore of Long Island in New York.
Okay.
And I went
a little bit different.
Went to nursing school out there and went to a VA hospital up in Montrose, New York, which is in the Hudson River Valley area, for my first job. And I was living on station. I didn't drive then, so I was living very cheaply. I had saved a fair amount of money by the time my opportunity for annual leave came along. And I was just in love with the state of Colorado back then. I don't know why, but I was. And I was a subscriber to Colorado Magazine. And in the back of that magazine was an ad for that trip. As it turned out, I took that trip, and I had a layover in Denver before my flight to Durango, about 6 hours. So I took a taxi to Denver VA and talked to them, and I really didn't want to live in a big city, what I thought was a big city. So sure. When I got home, I called Grand Junction, which is on the western slope. Well, Grand Junction always has a waiting list. They're such a prime area to live in. Well, then I called Fort Lyon, and Fort Lyon said, yeah, can you be here yesterday?
Wow. Just like that.
My sister had joined the Air Force by then, was going to be leaving for basic training in September. This was in July. I arranged my transfer for September, but my dad had a job where he had a block of vacation time, which was going to occur in August. And he said, if you can move that transfer date up, we will drive you out there, because we've always talked about going west together. And if the four of us split up now, between, you know, with you two kids leaving, we'll never get back together to do that. So if you can move your transfer date up, we will drive you out there. So a month to the day from the day I got home from that horse trip was my first day at Fort Lyon.
Wow. That's a great story. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. So my big plan was to travel the VA system and see the whole country. But then I met my husband, and he was a local boy, and the rest is history. I wasn't about to get him out of here.
And there you have it.
You
recently got some great acclamations. You've been recognized for some of your writing. What was that story that you submitted?
You know, the one I submitted, it's called The Desperate Dreams, and it is an 1870s story. It takes place in this general area, in the southeastern Colorado area. And yes, I was a finalist in the American Christian Fiction Writers First Impressions Contest, which means they really liked my first five pages. But I did not win. But, you know, ironically, the lady that took first place in that contest is in my critique group. And I absolutely love her story. Love, love, love it, that story. So I certainly held no bad feelings at all. I was so thrilled to see her as the winner, because she has really worked on that story and she deserves it. So I was quite thrilled
for
her.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, and for you, I mean, you know, the competition that's involved in things like that. So, you know, well done for five pages or not. And especially when you're a perfectionist, the first five are the hardest, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it kind of gave me some affirmation that finally you've nailed the beginning, because I have rewritten that beginning 100 times, trying to figure out where they say there's a certain place that's the best place to start a novel. And man, I have worked and reworked that. So I feel like maybe I have that nailed down to a degree. You know, you asked me what story I'm most proud of. And even though I don't have a book out there, our museum does a quarterly little magazine, the Bent County Chronicle. And they had asked me to write a story about a grocery store that existed back here way back in the day. Oh, my goodness. I had so much fun researching that. I contacted like 9 or 10 different people that had actually traded at the store. And I just had a blast writing that. And I really... It was just fun.
And what a unique assignment, too. That's very different.
It was fun. It was really fun. Well, when the person first asked me to write it, she thought that store had originated here in town. Turned out it had originated out by Fort Lyon at a place called La Colonia, which is where a lot of the Hispanic people lived. And, of course, my husband had lived out there as a kid. So I learned all that history as well, that the person who asked me to write the story didn't even know. So it was really fun.
Very good. So what would you say that you love most about being a writer?
Oh, goodness. I think what I really enjoy most is that synchrony, is there such a word, of words where you put something down on paper and it just kind of sings to you.
Sure, yes.
I just love that feeling of making words come to life, I guess. But
yeah.
I also, of course, enjoy my characters. And
you like the essence, really the art of writing is what it sounds like to me.
I think so,
And so then when you consider through the years how much has changed in a writer's, you know, the expectations, the responsibilities, just their life, you know, what you do as a writer, what would you say you enjoy least?
I think I am finding it very discouraging that I have to be more aware of actual real research than I am. And that's a stumbling block for me.
And how so?
Well, for example, I can take this Western, okay, and I can have a situation, but if that situation couldn't possibly have occurred,
okay,
due to
okay.
whatever,
I see what you're
people
saying.
That really know their history are going to really frown
sure.
on that. You see
Correct.
What I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So I have
you,
to get
you
more
want some artistic food. Leeway. You want to be able to just because I said so.
Yeah, but there are things that, and I, like a friend of mine wrote on a blog post for me, she said she did it backwards and I'm doing it backwards too. She wrote the story and then she did the research.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Actually, you should have all your research nailed down first and then you should work on your story. But I have so much fun just writing the story.
Well, and there's something to be said for not letting the world should on you, right? Because there's a lot of should out there.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, I think it's whatever works for you. If you acknowledge that it may be more work, you know, if you're trying to go the less time-consuming route, that advice makes sense. But if you're just enjoying the story, well, maybe it is worth taking the chance that you won't have to rework a lot of it or that you're just enjoying it in the first place and then you decide.
For me, it's a hobby. It's not oh my goodness, I have to get this
sure.
book out there or food's not going to be on the table next month type of thing, you
right.
know?
Right, yes.
It's the light of day.
Yeah.
Nobody's
and I've always struggled with parameters. Yeah, and I've always struggled with the parameters. You know, it has to be this long if it's this type of book or that long if it's the other. I'm like, it should be as long as it takes for you to tell the story. You know, that's my position. I mean, I get that people are very much now into fast fiction, right? Fast reading, fast stories, anything that takes longer than 5 minutes they're not interested in, which to me is very sad. But if you have a short story, don't stuff it with fluff if the story is
right.
good the way it is. And on the other side, if you have something to add that's going to contribute and add to the value of the story or the character or you know what their intention is, then I don't know. I don't have a problem with I don't think everything needs to be cut for the sake of a word count. That's just where I'm at.
Well, Jean, you know what? I'm right there with you because in doing my blogs, I very seldom blog myself. I have guest bloggers most of the time.
Sure.
And I have a set of guidelines written out right on my website. And I did not have a word count limit on there for the longest time. But so many people asked me that finally I put one on there. But
sure.
My main belief is that if you can make your point in 100 words, do it. If it takes you 800 words to do it, that's fine too.
I have one last question for you, Patty,
okay.
and that is, will you tell us about the Tuesday Treasure segment of Step Into the Light that you're going to introduce this year?
I'm very excited about Tuesday Treasure, and it kind of goes back to Dr. Brodsky's interview that I did. I've looked back on some of the numbers of former shows. It seems that, well, like on my website, when a person goes to my website to get a list of my shows, the first three are always right there on that homepage, okay?
Yeah, right.
So then when you go to the Blog Talk Radio tab, then you get a whole listing of all of them. But, of course, you're not going to see all of the shows that have been recorded on that page. You're going to see, like, I don't know, maybe there's 10 of them on there. But people do not tend to go back into archive a whole lot to look for, like, show number one or whatever.
Sure,
of all these
right.
that have been recorded. So my thought was, Tuesday Treasure, I will take one of those previous podcasts every month, And I will kind of upgrade it a little bit and explain at the beginning that this is a rerun, more or less, and bring those shows to light, because I feel, oh my goodness, some of those shows have such wonderful messages, and I hate for them to just get buried and never be heard by anybody. So the Tuesday Treasure is a way to kind of go back into those archives and bring forward something from the past.
Well, and I hope that's a fun experience for you too, because it sounds like if anyone's mm-hmm. been listening for any length of time, they're going to enjoy it. If they're new listeners, they're going to enjoy it, because now they get a glimpse of, you know, something that was popular and still relevant. So I'm thrilled for it. I think that's going to be great.
I think it'll be fun.
And you're intending to do that the last Tuesday of each month, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, I should have clarified that.
Okay.
It will be the last Tuesday of each month.
Very good. And I think it was fun for us when we were kind of, you know, just kind of brainstorming what it was that we wanted to bring and how it would work, you know, to partner through this, that there'd be, you know, something new and different to offer. So I'm thinking this will be, it does. It eases the burden, if you will, of having to have something for 4 weeks each month, but still
definitely
be entertaining and bring value.
Yes, definitely. Well, Jean, I feel like I have taken up an awful lot of time, and it's time for me to pick your brain now. Are you ready?
Okay, you go right ahead. Yes, I am.
First of all, I do want to make listeners aware that Jean and I did an interview here not too long ago, and I would encourage listeners to look back on that interview, because you'll probably learn a whole lot more about what she does than you will hear today. This is a good time to mention that all episodes of Step Into the Light can be heard on archive and found at my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled PattySheen.com. With that said, tell us what led you into the writing life, Jean. What do you write and why?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Patty. I started writing at a very young age, and I believe it was because I loved reading. And the stories that I was reading, I enjoyed so much, I wanted to mirror them, I wanted to mimic them, and I wanted to make them, you know, from my own perspective. And when I got out of grammar school, it kind of faded, but I always journaled through the years. I always journaled, so I wrote for myself, personally. And a number of years ago, if this is the right term, my soul dog, which was a pug, he was my first adopted rescue dog, passed away. And I had him for close to 10 years. I adopted him when he was 5, and he passed away when he was 14. And I was just heartbroken at his loss. But then I didn't want to lose all his fabulous stories and the great times that we had together. So I was, as a type of therapy, I started journaling about him and capturing those great moments and those great stories. And it was really healing and quite therapeutic to just feel like, though I didn't have him anymore, I would never lose the memories that we shared. And when I look back at those stories as I was writing them, and it's, Patty, I'll tell you, it's interesting because it was 2014, so 7 years ago that he passed away. As I talk about him, I could talk about him today and still start crying. You know, it's just, it's the loss of a loved family member that that you miss. And so as I look back at those stories, I went, wow, these are fun. They're engaging. They're funny. You know, I know other people would enjoy them. And it kind of took a life of its own when I put it in poetry. And then the appeal was for kids, right? Because you got to have great pictures to go with great pug stories. And so that's where it began. And so Zuggy the pug was born out of that. And I have a pug now. And so it kind of all flows. You know, you have that muse in the house and that stubborn, sweet, sassy personality that helps you keep writing. And so I do. It's a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it, but it came out of a place of sadness that before that was a place of joy. And so it's, you know, it's all a journey, and that was my pleasure. It was my pleasure to be able to write it and then to hold on to it and then to give it away, because you know how hard that is when we write things. They tend to be personal, whether they're fiction or not, and then to give them into the world, it's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this, but it to me, it's been a lot of fun. That journey has been quite wonderful.
I think when I talked about the sunlight on that gravestone that day, that your healing salve for your wound is these stories. You know, those those memories
very
that, that were and that loss, and yet God had a way of helping you heal through that. So that's so exciting and interesting.
It is. So it's quite wonderful.
Absolutely. Jean, you're more or less a children's writer, so why are you interested in becoming a part of Step Into the Light?
And that is a great question. I have wanted to get into podcasts for quite some time. I love the medium. I love that it's become popular because I think it should be popular. I am an old-time radio fan. I loved the skits and the shows and everything from sporting events, listening to them on the radio. I remember often my father would get frustrated at the announcers on the TV. We'd turn down the TV, we'd turn on the radio. So I have an affinity toward radio and podcasts. I find it very embracing of the people who are speaking because the visual is gone. You don't have to worry about body language. You don't worry about, you know, what people are thinking. It's just, here's who I am and here's my perspective. And if it's entertaining or informative or educational or whatever it is that you're tuning in for, you'll keep coming back for it. I had no idea, though I loved the medium, how to begin. Right? It's just a whole different ball game. And so that was my barrier, was I don't know even where to begin with this. As much as I enjoyed being on one side listening, I knew I had an affinity to being on the other side because, similar to what you shared earlier, I love people's stories. I love giving them the stage, if you will, to share what they have to offer. And this, when I was introduced to this from you, Patty, I was just enthralled. I was listening to you years before you invited me to be on the show because the whole format is very engaging. And so when you offer that to people and say, hey, you need to hear, you know, we need to hear your story, there, it doesn't get more personal and more appealing than that, because people are sharing their hearts on this show. And there needs to be a comfort and a trust that you're going to take this where it needs to go, or that our good Lord is going to take it where it needs to go for the people who need to hear the story to hear it. When you and I begin a show, that's my prayer, that the people who need to hear this, whether it be one or 1,000, Patty, matters not, but they need to hear the story. That's how we want to get it across. We want to share that to them.
I'm so thrilled to have you as a part of, like I say, I guess I can call us a team now.
Yes,
absolutely. I think you're going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to just add so much enthusiasm to the show that I'm very excited and welcome aboard, Jean. So,
thank you.
As far as your professional journey, where do you think this will take you? Promoting your children's stories? Do you see those two dovetailing together, or not really?
I don't really, and that isn't to say it won't.
Okay.
So it kind of branches off to what's going to happen in 2021. I don't know about most of our listeners, but 2020, most people look at that and went, wow, it was nothing I expected it to be. Not always that was bad, but certainly a struggle, certainly a challenge. We had to pivot a lot. We needed to, you know, shift gears a lot. And so that, I believe, is what made it most unenjoyable. And yet, I know many people struggled and lost a lot. When you look at what possibly could have been gained, for me it was, I am going to be open to the possibilities, because without that, there's going to be nothing. I was so disappointed, having gotten my foot in the door at the local grade schools, that I couldn't be invited to come and do an author visit and speak this year, because that was just so reaffirming for me that the kids loved the stories and they wanted to buy the books and all of that, and doing poetry lessons. So that was devastating. But as I sat at my desk staring out the window, I went, okay, well, you could sit here all year and feel bad about this, or you could do something else, right? And so it was, well, how do you shift? How do you become a virtual author visit? How do you create that? Where do you go with it? And although there are many things I'm still learning, I believe it's, in the bigger picture, helped me understand that in 2021, anything's possible. So why not let it be possible? Because if I just narrow my focus to one thing or one genre or one opportunity, that will be all I have. So I'm kind of just letting it go. There will still be more Zuggy, for sure, because that is my passion. But that isn't to say there won't be other things that might pop up. I have recently got a request, like you talked about, the request for that particular story in the history of the shopping center. I received a request from a friend of mine who's a veterinarian, and they said, I could really use just a small brochure on how to help children cope with the loss of a pet when a pet has to be put down. And as soon as she said it, I went, well, of course you do. How did nobody think of this before? And she said, you know, there's plenty online. There's a lot out there, but you know, parents ask me, she said, and I don't know what to say. I'm a veterinarian. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not, you know,
right.
But they become very close to the families because they're taking care of their animals for a decade and more. And so she says, you know, I tell them they know their children better than I do. And if the children, you know, if it's acceptable for them to be present, it's acceptable for them to be present. And I said, nope, I understand. And so I was able to create a brochure that I offered to her and I'm offering to my vet that is just something they can hand them that's little ideas to create mementos and to remember that pet and understand, you know, this is what we're going through and they'll always be in our hearts. And so very similar to what you're suggesting, Patty, I don't know that there aren't other things I'm going to be writing about or talking about or mm-hmm. promoting that I really have no idea of right now.
Well, still, I think that's a wonderful opportunity for you, Jean, and I can see you writing something that would be very sensitive to kids and knowing what you do about pets and that experience
and
the relationship between humans and pets and kids and pets and all that. Oh, I think that's a perfect task for you. It's none of my business, but I hope that you are going to get some financial remuneration for that.
Well, Patty, I'll offer to you, it's amazing what God makes happen when something is to happen, because I did all this research and
that's very
true. It's sad research, right? So I'm crying and typing at the same time. And I'm like, I'm going to do that for my next dog and you know, all this kind of stuff. And I have a print design and layout person who does the books that I self-publish. And I sent it to her and I said, hey, I'm on a very tight budget with this, but I'm just wondering how much you'd charge. It's just a simple brochure front and back, but I needed it done professionally. That is not my gift and I know it. And so I'm happy to pay for someone who has the skill so that I don't have to pull all my hair out trying to figure it out. And she sent it back to me in 2 hours and said, this is on me. I totally appreciate that you're doing this and it's much needed. What a beautiful and sad project. And I said, yeah. So she felt the same way. She has dogs. She has cats. She looked at it, put it together in 2 hours and just gave it back to me and said, here. And I went, wow, what a blessing. What a blessing.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
So, right. So really what we're paying for from a matter of veterinarians who might be interested in is the cost of printing. That's it. The cost of printing. It's simple and easy. I love how it all came together. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, you know, wouldn't it be nice though, Jean, if when you pass this brochure onto your vet, the person that requested it, if when they go to some kind of convention or something, they say, hey, I have this lady that's willing to do this, and then maybe you could, you know,
that's a great idea.
I mean, offer it for a fee. I mean, hey,
I
come
love
on
that.
Here, you know?
I love that. Thank you for that, because I will suggest that to her. Yes, absolutely. I'm not too proud to say, hey, pass this around.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's an idea.
Absolutely.
So it might
be
something.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Well, as we talked about when I did the little introduction today for the first show of the new year, most people kind of think about things that they're going to change, even if it's just a little bit, when we turn the calendar.
Right.
So is there anything particular about your writing habits that you hope to change this year?
So, Patty, it was very clear to me last year that I had to let go of perfection, right? There's only one perfect. He resides in heaven, and we don't have to be that. I'm looking for little increments of improvement, and I have to tell you that I don't know if it's appropriate to say, especially with poetry. I guess I feel that way because when I write Zuggy, that's what it is. Especially with poetry, it always feels like there can always be improvement. And so I have poems that have been published. I have poems that are sitting in a desk. And it's just a matter of knowing, right, when the next one to pull out is the right time. Has it sat there long enough? I call it percolating, right? Has it perked long enough to now I can look at it with fresh eyes and give it a boost and get it ready? Because that to me is the hardest part, is figuring out when it's ready. Because it seems like every month I could pick it up and do something different with it and I like it a little bit more. At what point do you just have to give it to the world? So just, I want to continue to improve. That's my goal. I want to continue to improve.
Good. And I think we all have that goal to a degree. I know in my novel writing, I had a couple of scenes that, oh man, I mean, I just loved them. I thought they were awesome and so did everybody else. But then when it came right down to it, the question comes up, how does this advance the story? Well, it really doesn't. So
right. They
call it killing your darlings. You have to just act that scene and say this just doesn't work for this particular. And they always tell you, save it because it may be perfect for the next one. But yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about, Jean.
And I do save it. It feels good to save it. I know there are writers out there who just delete, and I'm like, oh, it pains me. I just couldn't. I couldn't. It's too hard.
Have you ever considered, I know you're a children's writer, but have you ever thought about working on maybe a novel or short story or something to that effect, Jean?
Yeah, so I got my first traditional, and I'm doing the fingers, the first traditional, you know, in parentheses, acceptance earlier this year for a short story that I wrote for a prompt. So it's called a Muse paper, M-U-S-E paper, and each month they offer prompts, and if you decide to submit for it, they'll consider it, and if you're selected, you win a prize, and you get publication online and in their anthology. And I was just delighted to have won that because it's funny because Wyatt, the original pug, was in the story, though he wasn't the main character. He appeared because at the time of the story that I was telling, it was an essay, he was part of it. And so the main part of the story is about my son. And so it was really special to me, not only that I would, you know, because there is a certain amount of confidence building, if nothing else, that you're accepted, right, by your peers to be published. And so that was very fun, but especially for me because it was a story about my son. It was an essay from many years back. So that was very special to me. And I've found now that I have a special interest in articles, just news articles and good news. I'm tired of bad news. I'm tired of political news. And I find that very exhausting. And so I'm focusing on news stories that may be trending because of the season or a holiday. We have Valentine's coming up next is a happy holiday to look forward to. And so I'm kind of getting kind of niche-y in short articles and or essays, 100 words or less, which, you know, I mean, that you've got to bust that out because you don't have a whole lot of words to waste when you're talking about 100. But, you know, not that it's necessarily a different genre, but I'm focused on that and journaling. I've developed a couple of journals that are for people to capture their life stories. Cause there are many people who want to write but just don't know where to start. And because I'm a teacher at heart, I've created a journal last year that's called Blessed to Be Me, Capturing the Stories of Your Life. And it's just a variety of stories that you'd want, you know, from different times in your life to capture. And from that, people have said, well, you know, do you have a prompt or a story starter about the family dog? And I'm like, well, I have one little blurb, you know, who was your family pet growing up and stuff, but nothing to the extent that I could tell people were looking for, you know, being able to document the stories of their pets. And so this coming year, within 2021, I am going to be releasing Blessed to Be Your Dog. And that's about capturing the stories of your fur hero. Yeah, and it's really interesting. What's kind of fun about it, a little quirky and different, is that there are 6 story starters from the pet owner's point of view. So the pet parent writes their stories. And then the last 6 story starters or prompts is from the dog's point of view, because we all know what the dog's thinking and exactly how he'd say it. And so this gives you the opportunity to talk through the dog's voice. which is, I think, will add a very endearing part to the journal. And then, Patty, as you know, we can't do dogs without doing cats. So at some point in time, I'm going to need some assistance from my cat-loving friends on creating a journal for the cat.
Oh, you know what? This sounds just like so much fun and so creative, Jean. I just love it. I just love it.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to have something to look forward to. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. You know, I wanted to ask you another question, Jean, only because the focus of this show, after all, we are listed under religion, Christianity on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
How do pets enrich our faith, do you think?
Yeah. Well, I consider all of the rescue dogs that we've had, and we're on number 11 right now. My husband and I are on number 11, to be a blessing. And our most recent is a true Christmas blessing because I was looking for her for over a year. We lost a Boxer Beagle in November of 2019, and that left us with a pug and a Chihuahua. And they don't always get along. They're very loving, but not toward each other. So I was looking for that third dog to be kind of the intermediary. You know, what the Boxer Beagle brought was just a distraction, if you will. She was just a beautiful spirit that both of them enjoyed. And without her, you know, they're kind of at each other. And we had, I hate to say, several adoption attempts that just didn't work. The dog, you know, didn't get along with either of them or had to be, you know, a single dog house. And so we were very blessed when it was 2 weeks before Christmas. We got a call from the Airedale Terrier Rescue, and they said, we have an Airedale that lives currently with little dogs, and that's unusual because Airedales are hunters, and so little dogs aren't always their thing, if you will, and certainly not cats because they're cat hunters too. And so to find a dog, you know, that would do that, would get along in the house was just, you know, after searching for close to 13 months, it was a relief. And I knew it was an answered prayer because I had been asking for this dog for days and weeks and months, and I knew the Lord heard me. I knew He knew what was in my heart, and yet I also knew that I had to be patient and that it was with His time that the right dog would come. And so I think it is all about our experience to teach us resilience and love and kindness and patience. And it's interesting to me when we talk about what they bring to our hearts, you know, that consistent greeting when you come in, there's always the, you know, the eagerness for that pet to meet us and to receive us. And He made them for us. It's clear that He made them for us. And so I find that when we talk about them being part of the family, it's hard for people who don't necessarily have a pet to get that or to understand it. And it breaks my heart when I hear a comment like, oh, it's just the dog. It isn't just the dog, you know, it is a companion. And in fact, Patty, when I was talking to my vet friend who asked for the brochure that we talked about earlier, the thing we realized after having completed that we need one for seniors as well, because for them, most of the time, if it is the only, you know, if they've lost a spouse and it's the only member of the family still in the household, that's especially difficult and challenging for seniors. I know this is a very long-winded answer to that question, but I believe they enrich our spiritual life just in their presence, and that's all they have to do. And that's the beauty of having them, is just their presence reflects God's love for us.
Definite blessing to have them in our lives.
Yes.
Well, Jean, we are about at the end of our time. My goodness.
Thanks, Patty.
This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this.
It was. Yeah, and it was fun learning more about you, Patty. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jean, for questions that you asked me and for the interaction that occurred between us. This was a lot of fun, and I definitely look forward to partnering with you, and may God bless you. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. We hope you've enjoyed this episode that had a little bit of a different format than what you are used to here on Step Into the Light. We are so looking forward to the new year, and of course, we're looking forward to spending it with you. Thank you again for listening. If you would like to hear this episode again or refer it to family and friends, you can find the link on my website, pattysheene.com, PattySheene.com. Go to the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, and there you will find links to all of our shows. May each and every one of you be richly blessed throughout the year 2021.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire.